Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Yeah. All right, yeah, well, welcome to the very first episode of the number one Bengals podcast. We are on the Believe Podcast Network now, and this is a big, big change for us, and just in time for the start of the NFL season.
Yeah.
And if, of course, if the NFL season happens, right now it's happening, you know, we're all so positive, but let's be honest, Hoji, one little slip up could ruin everything. Yeah, yeah, I mean, just one guy.
One sneeze could take down the whole thing.
I'm thinking forward to the game against the Steelers, you know, like, do they wash their hands? Do they, you know what I mean? Do they believe in science? Not. I mean, has any of this knowledge reached Pittsburgh about how
it
to?
It has not.
Yeah. And then, you know,
they live under a cloud of dust already. So you can imagine with COVID trapped in there. Wow.
Right. And I think about someone like Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't like to judge people, but he looks like a guy who eats a lot of beans.
Who eats a lot, period. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, nothing against beans. It's great.
He's got a protein heavy diet. He's got too much protein.
I have read that the COVID virus can be transmitted gaseously. And so I'm worried about when our defensive linemen are lined up against Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Now you've given me something else to keep me up at night. Because I will tell you this, as a Bengals fan, if there was ever a time to be happy but also worried, it is now. I haven't been this excited for the start of a Bengals season since I can remember. Yes. I mean, Joe Burrow is here. It's like Christmas. It's opening up our Christmas present. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited. And I just don't want anything to go wrong.
No. And we're going to talk about what Joe Burrow needs to succeed in his first game at home. You know, what is going to happen. And we have two very special, very knowledgeable guests. I'm talking about Joe Goodberry. That's he is back from retirement. That's right. And Coach Matt.
Biggest knowledge.
Yes.
Father Joe.
And Coach Matt Minich.
That's right.
We got two big heavy hitters, big shot analysis for you. So guys, I'm looking at Joe Burrow in his debut. Right. And we got to think with rookie quarterbacks, there's adjusting to the NFL is speed. There's also the, you know, the butterflies, all the little things with the nervous system and, you know, worrying about how you perform and how people are going to judge you. But with a guy like Joe Burrow, I don't think it matters. I don't think, you know, having a crowd, no crowd, you know, this guy, if he plays in front of his family or in a packed Roman Coliseum with his life on the line, it doesn't really matter for him. You know what I mean? I don't think that is going to be a factor.
No, in fact, if when the Lions are chasing this man, although I don't want to, you know, put out any negative Lion stereotypes, but when the Lions are chasing this man, it's only going to make him play better.
Yeah.
That's the kind of nerves of steel he has.
Right. But really, Joe, I mean, I think about the offensive line is our biggest concern overall. And in this Chargers game, we have two guys, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, who can pose problems. So what do you see happening? You know, what do you see? How do you see that matchup playing out?
Yeah, and if there isn't nerves for Burrow in his first game and, you know, handling this offense in a shortened offseason, maybe the nerves come when he's dealing with pressure, right? Or dealing with a little bit more than he's used to. Even though he faced a fair amount at LSU, I think when you look at Joey Bosa, maybe top two or three pass rusher in the league right now, probably even defensive edge player, and he's going to go against Bobby Hart. So for me, it's like the Melvin Ingram versus Jonah Williams. I feel okay there. At least we hope so, right? We hope Jonah Williams on the left side can handle his job, even if it's his first game also. But on the right side, Bobby Hart versus, you know, Joey Bosa, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bloodbath, honestly. They're going to have to get the ball out as quick as possible, play action, misdirection, anything to get Bosa to flatten his feet just for a half a second to get Burrow just that little bit of extra time. But still, it's the biggest mismatch in this game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And the thing is, what are the Bengals? What can they do? I mean, I know Giovanni Bernard is very good in pass protection. How can they offset these mismatches? What can they do to kind of help him? I know he has the instincts. He has the escapability.
Disguises. It's never been used in the NFL before.
Just from a quarterback perspective, I think Burrow was so much better in the pocket and dealing with pressure than Andy Dalton was. I think we're going to see, and it's hard to say because Dalton was so good for what he was, but Burrow is expected to be at another level. And I think especially in the pocket, dealing with pressure and then going through secondary reactions and extending plays and going off script. And when he can do that, it's going to make this offensive line look much better. It's going to make the receivers look much better. It's going to make the offense be able to function and put up more points, more yards, all that. So I think just from a quarterback perspective, it's going to make the O-line look better. But what they can do scheme-wise is get the ball out quickly. You're talking less than 2.5 seconds on a lot of these quick reads, RPOs, which Burrow did a lot at LSU. Then you add in the play action, and they ran a lot of play action at LSU. I think we're going to see that again a lot out of shotgun and under center. And what that does is make the defensive line read, run, hopefully for at least a half second, and then give you that little bit of extra time.
Yeah. Coach Menich, I mean, what do you see this? How do you see this matchup?
Coach Matt.
I mean, that's it. That's the worst matchup that you've got, and we're going to have to see what the answers are because definitely – you know, Hart's an issue there. How much are they going to help him out with the running back? How much are they going to help him out with Drew Sample? I think we focus on right tackle and Bobby Hart, but I think we forget that last year left tackle was the bigger problem, especially early in the year. I mean, in the pass and in the run, players are getting destroyed because that guy was just getting knocked back into the backfield. That's a big part of the reason why they couldn't run at the beginning of the year, because they didn't have a player there. So having Jonah there, hopefully, at least solidifies, locks down that. So if you need to help out the other guy, you can do it. You're not picking your poison with who you're going to help out and who you're going to leave on an island. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, and as Joe said, look, the two biggest additions to this offensive line are Jonah Williams and Joe Burrow, right? Yeah. Because Joe Burrow is definitely going to make him look a lot better. I think John Sheeran posted a video earlier today after Cam Hayward got his extension and video Cam Hayward getting after Andy Dalton, and you know, you look at that and you're like, oh, that play's not going to go exactly the same. No, Hayward's a great player, don't get me wrong, but you know, that exact play wasn't going to go the same way with Burrow, who has some escapability.
I will say this, Coach Menich, another great addition on the offensive line is AJ Green. Now, that might sound kind of strange, but I mean,
it sounds like you don't know what you're talking about.
It does. But I'm saying, like Joe Burrow, I say that AJ Green, he can make up for a lot of the problems on his line because of the threat he poses, the fact that Joe Burrow can rely on him to win those 50-50 balls, all that kind of stuff. Like Joe said, getting the ball out quickly, it works for a guy like Andy Dalton because he could trust a guy like AJ Green. AJ Green's going
to
be back.
Well, okay. I hate to be the, you know, negative Nelly here, but I want to put a little bit of perspective on stuff. I love the Cincinnati Bengals just as much as anybody else. I love this team. I'm excited to see this. But you got to curb your expectations. Joe Burrow is the only quarterback in his class of this first rounders that's going to actually be starting. Tua's not. Even on the Chargers, you know, they could have gone with the Herbert, Sherbert, but they didn't. He's not starting, which is fine. But, I mean, look at what he's facing. Even downfield, you got Chris Harris Jr. The man knows what he's doing. He's a veteran. He's wily. He's a big threat down there. I think in some ways, that's going to offset the AJ Green factor. Shiel Kapadia of The Athletic ranks the Los Angeles Chargers as the number two defense this year. Now, I know that's a bit of an exaggeration, but that's a tough position for Joey Joe to start out in on his first game in the NFL.
So, Coach Menich, I mean, how do you see... Look, we all know our receivers look on paper amazing. I mean, you got AJ Green, the ultimate number one option. You got Tyler Boyd, the solid contributor, you know, the slot option. He's so good over the middle. You got John Ross, the burner. Yeah. You got Auden Tate, you know, making some tough catches, maybe, you know, on like third and long. And you got T. Higgins.
Yeah.
So I know they're talented, the Chargers, but you know, how do we specifically match up with their guys?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a really talented group, especially at corner. Now, with Derwin James being injured, that throws a little bit of a question mark at the safety spot. They've got Rashawn Jenkins, who's pretty solid player there. You got Nasir Adderley, who I liked a lot in the draft, but he is unproven at the NFL level. So definitely somebody that you could see them looking to take a shot at and test a little bit early. But when you get into the corners, I mean, they got three really good corners with Cam Hayward, with Desmond King, and with Chris Harris Jr. And Chris Harris Jr. in particular is interesting to me. I think we've seen Desmond King played, I think, about 50% of his time in the slot last year. He played a good amount in the slot. But to me, Chris Harris is one of those great moving pieces who can play on the outside. He can play very well in the slot, and he matches up against a lot of different guys really well. So it'll be interesting to see what they try to do with Harris, if they are putting him inside, putting him on Boyd, or if they're leaving him on the outside. So, yeah, some interesting matchups there.
Yeah.
As you were saying, with, you know, A.J. Green helping out the offensive line, I think there's some validity to that. Because, look, I think a lot of times we talk about, hey, the O-line's bad. They got to leave in a bunch of guys in protection. You got to have a fullback to, you know, block. You got to have two tight ends, you know, 7-8-man protection, whatever it is. But if you spread them out, they have to declare themselves. So with all the talent at receiver, you got, you know, you put A.J. Green out there, you put John Ross out there, you put Tyler Boyd out there. Those are guys you have to account for, and you're not just going to want to lock up and play man on those guys. And when they are sending somebody, whether it's somebody who's in a nickel-type position, a nickel linebacker, a rock-down safety, something like that, when they're sending those guys and you're spread out, they're going to give it up pretty easily, right? They're going to show it because they have to by position of the defense. Otherwise, they're coming for too far, and they're never going to get there. So it definitely helps you out that you're going to be able to see those blitzes coming. You can make some adjustments, which partially will be Burrow communicating with Trey and helping out and getting some protections changed. But also partially it's going to be Burrow recognizing what it is, seeing it, and getting rid of the ball. And getting into the hands of those guys you know, obviously Ross is the fastest guy in the history of the NFL Combine, but all those guys can do something with the ball in their hands and make plays. So, you know, that matchup's going to be really interesting, but I think being able to spread those guys out and get the defense farther away from you really makes them declare themselves and can help out the offensive line a little bit.
Yeah, and Joe, how can we do that best? Like, what receiver rotations can we do to take best advantage of these matchups? That's my first question for you. Second one is, are we going to see T. Higgins heavily involved in those rotations?
Yeah. Even though they have, we feel, 5, even 6, 7 good receivers. I mean, they kept a lot. It was even cut down day, Stanley Morgan not making it. This team feels very good about where they're at receiver. It doesn't mean you go out there with 5 wide receivers. And even if you go back to, you know, LSU's offense and Joe Burrow, even though they were 5 wide, it doesn't mean 5 wide receivers are out there. You got 3, a running back, and a tight end split out. And I think the Bengals are going to try and do that. I think they're going to try and take advantage of the Chargers linebackers who aren't very good or aren't very good in coverage. Yeah, they drafted Kenneth Murray in the first round, but he wasn't very good in coverage at Oklahoma. I think he's got a long way to go before he's able to be proven in the NFL. So I think they're going to attack that over the middle of the field. So A.J. Green hasn't played since 2018. I'm not a full game since October 28th of 2018. That is a long time ago, a whole different world. It feels like 10 years ago. And then you have John Ross, who's perpetually injured. T. Higgins missed a lot of time in this camp. So what does that mean? I think Boyd's out there pretty much every snap. But the rest of those guys, I think we'll see a heavy rotation. And that's probably a good thing. Normally, if I didn't feel good about the backups, and I don't think we have the last 2 years in Cincinnati, when A.J. Green's gone down, when John Ross has gone down, either one of them, and at times it's been both, it's really sunk this offense and the output it can have. So I think they're not in that same situation now. I think if Ross or Green were to go down or need a few snaps off, and I think they'll do that, and you're throwing out T. Higgins and Auden Tate, who on tape was seemingly the MVP of training camp, you feel really good about that receiver group, and you don't feel like you're hanging Joe Burrow out to dry. So I think we'll see Boyd the most. And I'm draft Tyler Boyd in fantasy. I think he's going to lead the team in targets again. I think he's going to lead the receivers in snaps. Then you probably have A.J. Green number 2, but because he hasn't played in so long, maybe 80% of the snaps for him. John Ross, maybe 50. And then so that other mix of 50, 20, maybe 10 for Boyd will go to Auden Tate and T. Higgins.
Yeah, I can see it playing out like that exactly. That I was going to say all of that, but you know, I just thought, you know, it'd be nice to the guest. Yeah, it was on tip of my tongue, all of that. But no, thank you, Joe, really. And okay, finally, guys, to close out the offensive segment, give me your predictions for Joe Burrow's first game ever. I want to see if, go ahead.
I'll start, Daddy. Look. You know, I get a lot of flack and a lot of negative mail from people who say I'm always negative. Look, I love Joe Burrow. I think he's the cat's pajamas. Okay, I love the guy. I'm looking forward to this game like a man who's meeting his mail order bride for the first time. That's how much. I mean, like, I'm really looking forward to Sunday. I'm really looking forward to what can be seen. But I cannot emphasize enough that this is a rookie quarterback. This is a whole level of different level of play. I would be happy with 7 wins this year. And I don't know if Sunday is going to be one of them. And that's okay with me.
Yeah, that okay. So we're talking about Joe Burrow's performance.
So I think he's going to be okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm talking about his stats. So Joe, just tell me, like, what kind is it going to be?
Okay.
I
said cat's pajamas. I said everything.
Oh, cat's pajamas. Cat's pajamas. Yeah.
That's in the stat category. I think when you look at it, you got to have realistic expectations, obviously. Even though he's the guy we wanted, we're all excited about Joe Burrow. Even Andy Dalton, who had a good rookie year when they went to the playoffs, he went to the Pro Bowl. It was one touchdown, one interception, and he didn't finish that game against the Browns, his first start ever in Cleveland. Although they won, Bruce Gradkowski threw a touchdown at the end to A.J. Green. A.J. Green's only catch of the game. But I think expectations should be, you know, not a lot of yards, maybe a lot of dinking and dunking, but at a high completion percentage, I'm thinking we see 200-plus yards. Maybe we're looking at 250 yards, one touchdown, one interception, in a tight game. I don't think the Chargers are that good, and I don't think their offense – is going to be able to produce that much. So I'm thinking this is like a 20-17 type game.
Yeah.
2017 Bengals.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. We'll do game predictions too. Just want to borrow, but that's okay. Yeah. Matt, Coach Menich, please.
Yeah. I'm going to ball that ballpark too. I'd probably go a little bit higher, you know, 270-ish, maybe 2 TDs and a interception. You know, there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some mistakes, but this, you know, this being his first live action, not even getting a look in the preseason, there's going to be some ups and downs. But we also have to remember that this is LA not knowing what our offense is right now either. You know, they have some assumptions based on what it were last year. And obviously, they were watching film on Joe Burrow too, you know, hoping that Mike Florio was right about us. But still, there's no film out there of the Bengals Burrow offense.
That's a great point. Yeah.
You know,
well, there's Gladiator.
They're going to be able to take away everything. They've got some really good players. It's going to be interesting to see how we deal with those matchups at receiver. It's going to be very interesting to see how we deal with the protection. But I think they can have some success here.
Yeah, I agree with all of your predictions. It's going to be a gritty game. I mean, the San Diego defense is a lot. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like a record-breaking game for Joe Burrow or the offense. So, yeah, I predict Bengals. I think they'll be held to about 42 points. I think, you know, I think Joe Burrow will have maybe 5 touchdowns. I don't think he'll get to I think 5 touchdowns under 400 yards, about 350, 375 yards, 5 touchdowns, 42 points. You know, I mean, it's a start,
Another 100 and a touchdown on the ground for Burrow too, right?
Right, I mean, exactly. That's like a Cam Newton first game. You remember that one against
right.
the Cardinals?
He had back-to-back 400. He had back-to-back 400 yards right. games to start his career. So yeah, I think
2011 shortened offseason, number one pick, Cam Newton.
There you go. It's going to happen again. By the way, this portion of the program was brought to you by Hamisher Schlemmer Pet High Chairs. With today's technology, we really don't get enough chances for those great dinner time conversations with our loved ones. So let's jump right into the defense. Okay.
Jump into it, man.
So, you know, Joe, the defense was, we talk about the offense and all that, but the defense was like setting bad historical marks the past couple of years, right? I mean, they were giving up a crazy amount of yards. It really looked like we did not have one competent linebacker, you know? I mean, last year we saw flashes from Jermaine Pratt. But other than that, the past couple of years, it's just been like the defense has been kind of hopeless, other than Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, those kind of guys, you know, Jesse Bates, you know, obviously. Overall, our defensive perception is our defense is weak. They're what really guarantees we can't be a contender this year. What do you see in this game against the Chargers? What is the biggest weakness that we have to compensate for?
It's answering those questions that we've had. It's, you know, because it wasn't just last year or the year before. It's been, I don't remember the last good linebacker that's been for the Bengals outside of Vontaze Burfict. So linebacker is still a major issue. How they're going to rotate those guys is, to me, is still a mystery because we didn't get the preseason. We didn't get camp. I don't know who the nickel linebackers are still. You know, I think Sean Williams being there would have changed some things up, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play. And I think largely, if you look at the first 8 games versus the last 8 games, that is 2 different stories of last year with the Bengals, not only on offense, but I felt on defense too. The first 8 games, I'm like, You know, they fired coordinators for similar starts to this, and I wondered about Lou Anarumo's job. Then they kind of figured it out a little bit, and Jesse Bates played better, and all the linebackers played better. A lot of defensive linemen just started to gel together. But they add guys like DJ Reader, and I think you get a healthy Carl Lawson. They're managing his snaps, and I think we'll continue to see that. The hard part is the cornerbacks, and while Darius Phillips played a lot last year, and I think he had 75 covered snaps, ended up with 4 interceptions, that's high production, but at the same time, I do think we're going to look at this secondary and say there's a lot of questions still. We got Vaughn Bell, you've got Mackenzie Alexander, and you got Darius Phillips that are kind of new to a starting role, at least starting week one with the Bengals, and how are they going to fit them? How is it going to work together? Is it going to be some communication issues? There was a lot of communication issues last year to start the year with the new defense, so maybe some of those are ironed out, but having new faces and guys next to you brings new host of issues that you've got to figure out on the fly, and I think we will see that, especially with no preseason. You're only going against your own offense for the last 4 weeks. You're going to actually see another offense that you don't have any tape on. We said that about the Bengals offense. It's kind of true still with the Chargers.
Well, you mentioned Vaughn Bell. I mean, honestly, Joe, I mean, I know he's new to the team, but he just seems like such a professional, such a talented guy. I kind of feel that he'll just transition, and the secondary, he'll give the defense, the secondary, a little more identity immediately. But I know that it's going to get better over time, you know, as they get used to playing next to each other. And we didn't have the preseason, obviously, that kind of maybe set us back too. But okay, let's say, how are they going to deal with playing a guy like Tyrod Taylor? Because, you know,
Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod Taylor, let me put this out there for everybody. This is a man who's been underestimated a lot. He's had a series of injuries here and there. He's played for a bunch of different teams. He's never really been settled. But this is a man who can, he is like an Andy Dalton, Alex Smith type guy. He gets the job done. And I don't think that you can just say, oh, Tyrod Taylor's a nobody. No, there's a reason why he's starting over Herbert. And that's because he's got experience. He's going to be able to read through our defense. I would worry about Tyrod Taylor. I would. And by the way, I would worry about Herbert too. If they let Herbert play, that man is really good.
Coach Matt Minich, I mean, what do you say? I mean, what do you see about the overall defense? You know, what do you see about the overall weaknesses of the defense?
Well, you know, with Trey Waynes out, like Joe was saying, corner's a question mark. I'm a big Phillips guy. The number one thing people say about him is his height. I really don't think that's as big of a deal as we make it out to be. You know, I mean, obviously in certain matchups, you're not going to want a guy like that covering Auden Tate or anything, but I don't think that's as big of a deal as we make it out to be. The big thing for me is really the coaching. And Joe talked about this too, with, you know, bad start, that was Anarumo going to stick around? We knew Anarumo was a late hire. I saw a lot of things on film last year that were very interesting in a good way. For instance, the way they used Sam Hubbard, right? Moving him all over the field, the different things they were doing, how they kind of transitioned, how they were running a bit of a 3-4, a bit of a 4-3, and just utilizing their personnel in some very interesting ways in the front seven. At the back of the defense, the secondary had some big-time problems, and a lot of it was either scheme or communication. And Joe and I actually, we were having a discussion like over DMs one time, like, what is this? Do you have any idea what it is? And, I mean, I think we both did videos that week talking about a blown coverage and what possibly they could have been trying to do. So now they've had a year, they've got new players, you know, so, you know, hopefully there's a processing aspect to that too. And it's not just that, no, you know, Dre was getting burned because he was slower and stiff. He wasn't processing things. And maybe that's why they were out of position. Hopefully they replaced some of those guys. There's also been a coaching change at corner. Hopefully that's helped some things out as well. Yeah. So that's to me is the big question part, Mark, because I think Anarumo's defense has some aspects where it was like, oh, this could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they got torched a lot, and a lot of it was
missed tackles.
It did. Yeah, missed tackles. Yeah. And look.
Yeah. And just things that look like they may have been schematic. You know, right?
Yeah.
Usually you can tell when it's a mental error by a player.
Yeah.
Because one guy's out of position. Right. But then there were times when you couldn't even tell
who was out of position. The whole team was out of position. Looks like we didn't even know what game we were playing. I know. But so look.
So that's the big question with me is,
they're playing
what are they doing? And who is Anarumo?
I mean, Coach Minich, I mean, you were talking about this, and really, let's be honest, we haven't been able to tackle tight ends, you know, for even during the Marvin Lewis era. I mean, even, you know, during when Marvin Lewis, the defenses were good, we had problems with tackling tight ends, and we had problems tackling running backs in important games, in critical games, you know, in those primetime games, those playoff games. It was always like some no-name running backs running all over us. But now we brought in three rookie linebackers. We brought in a guy, Josh Bynes, you know, just a very knowledgeable, good veteran. We brought in, you know, DJ Reader to shore up that defensive line. And what do you see? How do you, I mean, because look, the Chargers, let's be honest, they have playmakers. They have this Austin Eckler guy. He's a little tiny guy. He's a little tiny guy. He's like my height, right? He just runs around and no one knows where he went. And he took the job of the two-time Pro Bowler, Melvin Gordon. He almost had 1,000 yards receiving as a running back because no one ever suspects the running back to catch the ball. And this guy's just catching the ball, running around like a little mouse. And this guy is going to pose problems for us if we don't, you know, if we don't plan for him. And then you look at Hunter Henry. Right, I mean, he's so good that Stephen A. Smith, you know, thought he was still on the team. He was like a threat when he wasn't even healthy, you know. And then you look at our receivers. We're going to get to that soon. But yeah, the running backs, the tight ends, are we going to be able to tackle them and prevent them from having back-breaking plays?
I mean, to me, the biggest thing is coverage, and that's been like tackling in coverage has been an issue for the past few years, even before last year when the defense was really bad. You know, going back about 2-3 years, they've had trouble making tackles in the open field. And look, when you're playing some zone defenses and like you can't cover the entire field. So completions, there's going to be completions, but completions are fine if you cover the deep route, you rally to the shorter route and you make a tackle and you don't let them turn them into big gains. And that has happened a lot to this Bengals defenses. They don't make those tackles. So some big changes, and again, we as we talk about the secondary, obviously Drake Kirkpatrick was not a strong tackler, so you know, making some changes in the secondary is going to help with that as well. But now we've got linebackers,
right?
And really across the board, like all these linebackers they brought in, I loved Pratt coming out. I thought Pratt was a great tackler. I didn't think he was particularly good in coverage. The word from camp is that he is much improved in that area and that he shined in coverage.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, it was never a he can't do it thing. It was a he's not very good at it right now thing. So hopefully he's taken that step. But you look at these three rookies they brought in.
Yeah.
All three good tacklers, all three good in coverage. That's what it's about is now what are they going to do? How are they going to deploy those guys? As Joe was saying before, what's that rotation going to be like? And, you know, who can match up on who when it comes to a tight end, a player like Hunter, a player like Eckler? Because if they can be, you know, real, they really should be rotating all these guys in a little bit in this game, because this is a great test going against this team and those guys to see what they can do and to see who can cover, you know, what type of player there.
Yeah. So Joe, tell us about that. Tell us what you see, because look, you know, Jermaine Pratt, number one in the snaps, Josh Bynes going to be number two in the snaps, and Jordan Evans, if he's on the team, he probably get more snaps than the rookies. So tell us how you see that playing out with the rookies.
Maybe
you disagree. Yeah, go ahead. How do you see the snaps playing out in this first game, you know?
Yeah, I think Logan Wilson's actually, they drafted him and I had a second round grade on him. I think, don't be surprised if he's getting 50-50 with Josh Bynes. Bynes isn't a guy that you want in coverage. Even as much as he played for the Ravens, you look at his history throughout the league, teams got him off the field in third downs and in nickels. So who's going to replace him? If Jermaine Pratt's out there for every snap, if he's just one of your nickel linebackers, great. You have athleticism, you got a guy who's presumably improved in coverage. I think Logan Wilson is the next guy after Bynes. So Bynes maybe is your, you know, inside thumper in your 3-4 defense. And then when you need some athleticism, you need a guy that seems like he should walk right behind Bynes in his shoes with his mental ability and, you know, eventually be a leader of the defense. I think it's Logan Wilson and he's going to get in there. But Akeem Davis-Gaither, he's the most interesting one because that is more of a wild card. You can do what you want with him. He played some nickel corner. He played some safety. He played some edge rusher, a lot of edge rusher last year. And I think you can do that with him. I think you can mix it up. I think you can get a little crazy. Right now, if you look at their defensive ends, they really only have three guys with Dunlap, Hubbard, and Lawson, which is great because we like those three guys. That's pretty good depth. But right. I think if they need to get some juice on the edge and one of those guys need a breather, you can put Akeem Davis-Gaither out there and feel really good about him, at least threatening that edge. He's a little light for it, but you can do it. So I think the mix there is going to be very interesting to see. But to me, that is the weak point because I feel good about the Bengals' corners, even though we said it's a question mark in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
the Chargers really don't have great receivers. It's Keenan Allen, who's fantastic. But if Mike Williams doesn't play, and he's been a jump ball specialist, he's kind of unreliable. Hunter Henry's been unreliable because of injuries, so a different reason. So it's Allen and Eckler getting 15 targets each every single game you watch of the Chargers. You wonder if that's going to continue. And if that's the case, the Bengals have plenty of tape to scheme for that and plenty of time to say, we got to shut those two guys down. And if the other guys beat us, then so be it. Then we deserve to lose.
That's good. That's good. So it sounds like, yeah, please. Yeah. Go ahead,
yeah. I haven't said much because I'm not the defense kind of guy.
Yeah,
I don't really care about defense. That's when I go get snacks. But
yeah, I've always found you offensive.
It's true. A lot of people do. And I smell offensive, but luckily that doesn't come through. So the thing is, like, I feel like we do have some stars, right? You got your Carlos Dunlap. He's going to come on the show. You got your Atkins. And I feel like one thing that's interesting for me is that Atkins wasn't playing in practice. Is this the Bengals saying that they really, really care a lot about Atkins? And I wonder if the Christian Covington hire wasn't to have someone to ease up some of the burden on Atkins so that you have, like, a guy to relieve Atkins of some of that duty. There seems to be a lot of investment in Atkins. And in the Carlos Dunlap. And I think that's a good thing. I think that Anamoro Romo has figured out what works. And I think they'd be okay.
I think we all know what Geno is. You know, obviously he's getting older, but they know what he can do. And, you know, Zach Taylor has been adamant that he played far too much last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wren's out. Tupo's out. They went out and got Mike Daniels. But still, when you look at it, when they run the 3-4 defense – right. Which they ran about a quarter of the time last year. When they run that 3-4 defense, it's three defensive tackles that are on the field.
Right.
And Hubbard, the guys we think of as defensive ends, those guys are the stand-up outside linebackers in that defense. So if you put Reeder, Atkins, and Daniels on the field, like, that was all they had at defensive tackle before they went out and made this move, really. I mean, I was looking at the roster before, and I was like, well, Trey Deshaun has to make this roster unless they do something. So, I mean, that was a huge addition. And you know, he's going to have to play in some of those three defensive tackle looks and, you know, definitely to get Geno out of there as well because they know that's important to keep him fresh.
Exactly, because with Coach Menich, what people don't realize is that playing defense is more grueling than playing offense. 1 minute of defense playing is more tiresome than 1 minute of offensive playing. Why? It's a lot more of taking into a lot of different factors when you're on the field as a defensive player. And our defensive players
it's like losing weight versus gaining weight.
Right. And our defensive players were out there a lot last year. They would spend a lot of time on the field. You're right. There was too much pressure on Geno Atkins. I have, for example, I've got a Tesla. I talk about it a lot. I also have a Chevy Volt. I sometimes drive my Chevy Volt so I don't put too much pressure on my Tesla. And I think that's going to be the approach with Geno Atkins this year. And I'm happy to see that change. Kudos to you, Anna Romo, for doing that.
I mean, look, Geno Atkins, he signed a long-term deal last year. And he didn't have the best year last year, but he wanted to, you know. You have to try to get value. You have to try to get value out of your investments. And so when you sign a guy to that kind of money, like with Joe Mixon, you know, I remember when Joe Mixon, he goes up to Mike Brown, he says, I'm going to make this worth every penny. And I swear that I saw Mike Brown shed a tear.
Yeah,
and it was not because the team is going to do well. He just said, you know, I don't feel bad about making a bad investment now.
That's his soft spot.
Yeah. And so with Geno Atkins, they're like, this guy has got to play like a 10, whatever, 12, I don't know how many, getting every year $1 million. We have to keep him like that, whatever it takes. And so they got DJ Reader. Yeah.
Yeah, and Daddy was so into good deals. I don't know if you guys know this. Sometimes he'll sleep over my house. He has great value underwear. I didn't know Walmart made underwear. His underwear says great value.
Yeah.
I've watched it. I've watched that underwear.
Yeah, it's great value because you can attach multiple underwears and use them as a table cover as well.
Parachute.
And you can use it as a parachute. They're really, you should try them out, guys. Really great value.
And unfortunately, that you have a face mask. I've seen you do that, and that's disgusting.
I have a face mask right here, guys.
Your mustache.
No, right here. Well, the mustache filters the air.
It's a handkerchief, Father Joey. That's why you can't see it. It's beneath the...
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. So, guys, just be careful out there. And we hope the Bengals are careful. Geno Atkins, another thing is you got to protect him. You know, he's vulnerable. He's high risk with the virus. So, you got to protect that
guy.
Why
is that?
He has sickle cell traits.
He does?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So that's another thing. I don't know if when Mike Brown probably is very worried about that as well. Okay, guys, great show. Thank you so much. Joe and Matt, in your opinion, should they subscribe and like and turn on notifications?
Yeah, someone asked while you guys were talking right there, what is this? And I thought that's a very good question to what's going on here. And it's a very good Bengals informative show. You guys get the best of us. So that's why I watch.
Would you?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
What is this to be on your promos? That'd be great.
It's great. I mean, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is, guys. It's the number one Bengals podcast.
Hosted by.
That is what the show is. I didn't, honestly, guys, it hasn't even been launched yet. And that is the name that they came up with for us. Number one.
Yeah, we named it that. Yeah. Yeah. Number one.
Well, okay. I named it that. Sure. But they agreed. Guys.
And so please, I think it's natural that if it's the number one Bengals podcast, that you're going to put 5 stars, whether you like it or not. Because.
Yeah. Please leave 5 stars and subscribe.
I mean, if it's number one, you're going to put the 5 stars because what choice do you have?
Exactly.
Otherwise, it'll become number two and the universe will fall apart.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much. Obviously, as always, I have Dr. Roger, Dr. Kismuji, but very special guests. I'm talking about Coach Matt Manich and Joe Goodberry. Thank you both for joining us. I hope you come back.
Squeeze the juice.
And that is all we have for this show. We'll see you next time. So long. This evening. Bye.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.